No, that's right. Enoch did not die. I mean, Enoch did die. He didn't die, but then he did die. Did you get all that straight? I just confused it. Hang on a second. Let me take a breath here. Everybody, this is Martin Zender. Enoch, I got to make sure you understand this guy before we go to the next hero of faith, who's Noah. I love Noah, but Enoch now is a really interesting character to me. A lot of legend springs up over this guy because it says in Hebrews 11:5, by faith, Enoch, who's the father of Methuselah, great-grandfather of Noah, was transferred so as not to be acquainted with death. So some people think that Enoch is alive today because it says he's not to be acquainted with death. And I made a little joke the other day that if he is still alive, I think he's the greeter at the Walmart up in Richland. I mean, I'm just saying, okay? But he was not found because God transfers him. And it was the same type of transfer, just reviewing here, same type of transfer of Philip in the book of Acts. I think it's chapter 8 with the Ethiopian eunuch. He was transferred. Apparently, Enoch's life was in danger because he was prophesying concerning a coming doom. You're never really popular at parties. You know, when you're not the life of the party when you walk in and prophesy concerning the irreverence of all the irreverent men. We saw in the book of Jude how much Enoch loved the word irreverence. He loved it. It was his favorite word. And he spoke about all the irreverent people. And this was really hundreds of years prophesied concerning an impending doom. And so, but later, look at verse 13 of Hebrews 11. In faith died all these. So let's look at the contrast here. Then we're going to move on to Noah. By faith, Enoch was transferred so as not to be acquainted with death. That's verse 5. Verse 13 says, in faith died all these. And he's included in the all these being presented by Paul here as examples of faith. Not being requited with the promises. Requited, that means they didn't live to see the promises fulfilled. And that's the common ground of every one of these people mentioned in Hebrews 11. They died having not received the promise. Now, you can almost make an exception for Noah. So, does everybody understand Enoch now before we go on? Interesting character. Not a lot of fun at a party. You don't want to invite him to your kid's birthday party. He'd be a real buzzkill. So, okay, now we're going to go to Noah. Again, Noah is the great, great grandson of Enoch. I think I got that right. By faith, Noah, being apprised, it's a concordant word there, being brought to date, up to date, concerning that which is not as yet being observed, being pious, constructs an ark for the salvation of his house, through which he condemns the world, and became an enjoyer of the allotment of the righteousness which accords with faith. An enjoyer of the righteousness which accords with faith. And again, I've been telling you, and it's a theme here, God loves to be believed. He loves to be believed. It makes him so happy. To us, it doesn't seem enough. God, we can give you more. We can do wonderful works for you. We can bleed for you. We can sacrifice for you. And God says, just believe me. So all these Christians are out there thinking they're doing wonderful works for God, and they don't even believe what he accomplished through his son on the cross. God hates that. So their work amounts to nothing. And if they would just read these simple passages, I didn't finish reading that part about Enoch. I read it yesterday, but let's read it again. He said that before his transference, he is attested to have pleased God well. How did he do that? How did he please God well? It says, now apart from faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing. For he who is coming to God must believe that he is and is becoming a rewarder of those who are seeking him out. So God loves to be believed. He loves it when people believe him, when they don't see anything. Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. That's a huge bonus. And I've said this to you before, to not see and yet still believe. So by faith, talk about faith, Noah, he was told to go to a lot of trouble to build this gigantic boat. I think there's a movie coming out with Russell Crowe as playing Noah. And I can't stand what Hollywood does to this stuff. It does look a little interesting, but it's over melodramatic. Although it's hard to think that you could melodramatize the destruction of the world. So maybe Hollywood will actually do this justice. But Noah was apprised, and I think it took him over 100 years to build this boat. And he's landlocked. He's landlocked. So naturally, all these irreverent people, and we know the world was covered with sin and irreverence, and there was only 8 people on the planet who believed God. Everybody else sinned as a vocation. We're not saying that Noah and his wife and his sons and their wives were perfect, but they believed God. I can't emphasize to you what a thrill it is to God to be believed. So he starts building this ark, constructs an ark for the salvation of his house through which he condemns the world. How is the world condemned? Did Noah stand out there like a street preacher? Y'all are going to hell. Y'all going to drown. I don't think he did. I think the fact that ark was the condemnation. Listen to this. I got a quote from A. Nock here on this. I think that the ark itself was condemnation. This is what Knox says. It's comment on verse 7. As Enoch's faith kept him out of the impending judgment to which he testified, so Noah's faith led him safely through it. So Enoch got out of it. He was transferred so as not to be acquainted with death. He was apparently threatened. He was delivered from that, but died later of old age, or maybe he smoked. He got emphysema. I don't know. Broke a leg, broke a hip, slipped on the snow. I don't know how Enoch died. It doesn't say. It just says that he did. He was taken out of it. Noah's faith led him safely through it. One was called upon to warn, the other to work. So it was Enoch whose job was to warn. They're firing on us right now. I heard an explosion in the background. There's cannon fire. Maybe shoulder-launched missiles coming our way. But anyway, that's exciting. One was called to warn, the other to work. So Noah worked. The building of the ark must have been a tremendous task to undertake in the face of the derision and opposition of the whole world. Don't you feel sometimes that the whole world is opposing you? And I don't know how many times I've heard this argument. Zender, you're telling me that you're right about God being the savior of all humanity, and all these Greek scholars are wrong? And I say, well, if the Greek scholars were careful and looked at the word Ion in a concordance and looked at the word Hades, Gehenna, and Tartarus, they would find what I found. But they don't, because they're interested in their reputation. They're not careful students. But the point being, the whole world is against us. And I always think, when I think of being against, when I think of going against the grain, swimming upstream against the entire world like Noah did and like Enoch did, I think of Leonardo da Vinci. Always think of this guy. He's up in his tower in the year 13, whatever. He's drawing pictures of helicopters, you know. And Copernicus, for instance, who realized back in the day that the sun didn't revolve around the earth. It was the other way around. And all these men who discovered these amazing scientific principles, Leonardo da Vinci dropping the balls of different weights from the tower at Pisa, and they hit at the same time, which went against all scientific wisdom of the day. And the people watched those balls fall from the tower, and they still didn't believe their own eyes. So these men were way ahead of their time in what they saw. We're talking about the scientific realm here. So now I want you to take comfort that we are way ahead of our time spiritually. And this actually has to do with a verse I said I was going to get to, 1 Corinthians 10:11, that the consummations of the eons have attained to us. I'm going in all sorts of different directions at once, but it's 1 Corinthians 10:11. Paul says that the consummations of the eons have attained to us. Now, that's a very mysterious phrase. What it means is everything God is going to do to conciliate the world to himself, to get rid of all enmity, everything he's going to do at the consummation, he's given us that information now. He's whispered it to us. And Jesus said that God will tell his counsels to his friends. God is not going to do anything without telling people. And Jesus said that. He goes, you're my friend, so I'm telling you, I'm giving you. It is to you is given to know the secrets of the kingdom, yet to those without, it has not been given. To Noah, it was given to know the secret that a world-destroying flood was coming. 8 people out of 8 billion. I told you before, we had researched it here, and like we wondered how many people were on the earth in the days of Noah. Because I thought, wow, what a small percentage. And several different websites corroborated the fact that there were 8 billion people on the earth during the days of Noah. Didn't you think it was much smaller? So the interesting thing there is this is the first time in history that there have been as many people alive as there were in the days of Noah. And Jesus said, as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Mankind be. So we are again, speaking of faith here, we are again perched on the cliff, on the edge of a world-destroying disaster. And in that day, Noah built an ark out of faith when he could not see. There was no rain for 100 years. And people laughed at him. And they came by and scoffed and derided him, just like the Pharisees and the high priest did to Jesus Christ. They mocked him. The soldiers made a crown out of thorns and put it on the king's head. Can you believe it? It just tears my heart out. I just saw that the other day. We were watching clips from Jesus of Nazareth, and we watched that clip. It was hard to watch. So you're a king. So you're a king, huh? You don't look like a king. You look like a real loser. Where are you from? Nazareth? And yet he created everything. Whew. What a lonely walk. And his own friends didn't understand him. And what faith he had to have to go to the cross and trust that what he was doing was necessary. He doubted it in the Garden of Gethsemane. He hoped that it wasn't necessary, but it was. But even he wondered in the depths of the darkness of the cross, my God, why have you forgotten me? It's the most horrible time in the history of the universe, his lowest moment. And we are partakers, not of the depths of that, but of the same quality of suffering. Lord, we've been talking about this snatching away. Our friends think we're nuts. We're, quote, building an ark, unquote. We're being laughed at. We're being mocked. We're not popular. The whole church has gone on. $1 million buildings. Everybody loves you. And what are we? What are we? Who are you? Who do you think you are? You have the truth? You and your 10 friends have the truth? And we don't? That's what the Pharisees said to Jesus and his ragtag band. You know who those ragtag people were? They were the future rulers of the earth. The future rulers of the earth. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Peter, Andrew. They were the future rulers of the earth. And yet, while they were on the earth, they were hated. And it's always going to be this way. Enoch had to be transferred because his life was in danger. Because he was a killjoy. Noah was the laughingstock. The laughingstock of Mesopotamia. He was a joke. Jesus Christ, our Messiah, the creator of everything, by whom all things consist, when on earth, was a joke. A joke. And you today are a joke. Leonardo da Vinci was a joke. But what we believe is going to be real popular someday. Really popular someday. And the forsaken Messiah, the stone that the builders rejected, has become the cornerstone of everything. And you, being rejected by the world, are going to become the cornerstone of everything. And if you can walk through your day believing this, in spite of what you see, in spite of all opposition against you, in spite of the stream of irreverence, then you will be well-pleasing to God, not because you're working like crazy for him, not because you're sweating, not because you're sacrificing or having yourselves crucified like the Filipinos, but because you believe what God said concerning you, that you are a son and a daughter of his, and you will be exalted with Christ at the right hand of God. Is that the most incredible thing you've ever heard? Do you see any of it now? No, it's the opposite. But I'm telling you, it's as true, it's as impending as the judgment is impending. Your glory is as impending as the judgment, and it's all near. Keep the faith. Exhort one another. That's what we're doing. I'm exhorting you and exhorting myself at the same time. Keep the faith. We're going to get through this together.